Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We continue to think about our habits and behaviours, seeking to align them with God's plans for our lives. We have looked at identifying our bad habits and addictions, and the way these are often caused by the way we deal poorly with pain and sorrow. And so last week we thought about how to deal with our pain in a spiritually healthy, God-directed manner. This week, we're going to consider our perspective, the way we look at the world, our lives, other people, and how we can have our perspective transformed to be in sync with God's perspective. Now, there isn't one key reading for the whole talk, but I will be picking up on three key readings for each, one for each point, and then supplement it with other readings. So the first of the readings is from Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There is a phrase that says, perception is reality, which suggests that how we perceive the world becomes our reality. But the question we should be asking ourselves is, whose perception are you looking with? That phrase, perception is reality, is misleading, as it seems to suggest that if you perceive something one way, then that makes it your reality and you can live according to that perception. But the way we view the world, the way we view circumstances, people, situations, life, is not always accurate, and it is certainly not objective. There are many different factors that affect the way we perceive things. As an example, there have been tests done that prove that our sense of taste is affected by seemingly unconnected things such as sound and colour. Scientists added an odourless, tasteless red dye to a glass of white wine, and it made people, from casual drinkers to wine experts, believe that they were drinking red wine. Other tests have shown that our taste of food changes based on the music we are listening to at the time. For example, higher pitched music brings out sweeter tastes in food. Now, why am I telling you this? I'm mentioning it to show that on a biological level, there are many factors that influence the way we experience and understand the world. These factors, therefore, only increase in number when we add in other aspects such as emotion, trauma, pain, difficult circumstances, etc. All of this is to say that our perspective is highly individual and subjective. Whenever we try to assess a situation, we can never be objective, because we will always view things from our own self-centric viewpoint. It's just a statement of fact. And this is true for the way we experience individual situations, and also for the way we live and perceive our whole lives. What I'm saying is clearly not a new concept. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death." This proves that even back during the time that Proverbs was written, people recognised that our human thinking is flawed and subjective. We can be convinced that something is right and good for us, only for it to lead to death. Our thinking impacts our behaviour, what we say and do. And so it's important that we recognise that our own thinking is not perfect or objective. In Isaiah 55, we are encouraged to seek the Lord and follow his thoughts and his ways because our own are so flawed. God reminds us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, are your ways my ways." He even goes on to say, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In ancient times, the gods of other religions would be thought of like people, with having the same kind of desires and whims and thoughts as other people. However, here God is stating loud and clear that he isn't like the gods that other people believed in. His thoughts are nothing like ours because they are so much higher and greater than ours. Our thoughts are flawed and easily influenced by so many things, whereas God's thoughts are perfect. Recognizing the flawed nature of our own perspective can help us seek the only perspective that is worth considering, God's. God's thoughts are so much purer and higher than ours. His thoughts are not subject to the many different factors that impact ours. His perception cannot be manipulated, altered, or made to believe an illusion. We do not need to understand God's thoughts or ways. We just need to trust in him and believe that his ways, his thoughts, are better than our own. And this leads me nicely onto my next point. We need to raise our eyes from our earthly perspective to look at things from God's eyes. Let me read from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18. "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And then again, in Colossians 3, verses 1 to 2, Paul says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." When we look at life, it is so easy for us to be fixated on our earthly situations, for us to be focused on thinking about what we are currently experiencing, whether that's good or bad. But Paul encourages us to lift our eyes from our earthly situations, to set our minds on things above, on what is unseen. Sometimes when we're in a difficult situation, it can seem to go on forever. But Paul reminds us that our troubles are light and momentary. They are temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. We all go through the ups and downs of life, but when we remember that we have our God, Saviour, friend, Father with us always, who wants to help guide us into safe paths, then it makes each challenge easier to bear. When talking to the Corinthians, Paul tells them, "Therefore, do not lose heart." Paul recognised that the Corinthians were going through difficult times, but he also wanted to encourage them that no matter what they may face, they do not have to be afraid. He gives them the advice that instead of focusing on the problems and allowing the pain and the fear to overcome them, they need to fix their eyes on what is unseen. When we fix our eyes on our situation, it can feel like everything is hopeless, and there is no point even trying to carry on. But when we fix our eyes on God, it puts our situation in perspective, allowing us to view it from God's viewpoint. This doesn't mean that the situation gets instantly sorted. It doesn't even necessarily mean that we can cope with the situation better, although I certainly hope and pray we do. But it does mean that we can remember that God is with us. God is in control. And nothing is too big or too small for God to care about. Remembering God's presence with us enables us to rely on his strength and not our own. So we need to ask God for understanding of the world, for his understanding of the world, so that we can live according to his thoughts, his ways, rather than following our own thoughts and our own ways. Can we take a moment to pause and look at our own lives and ask God to identify in us where he wants our perspective to change? Are there any thought patterns that are not of God that make you act in ways that are contrary to God? Are there situations in your life that God wants you to look at from a heavenly mindset? Are there thought processes that encourage you into bad habits that God wants to gently challenge? Can we allow God to help identify those things in our lives that need to be transformed by his perspective? Of course, we cannot transform our perspective to a godly perspective all by ourselves in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit to come and take charge. Let me read from Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. These couple of verses from Romans are some of my favourite verses because it reminds me that God is in charge of transforming me, that I don't have to achieve it all on my own. We are to play our part. We are to choose to turn away from the pattern of this world, to say no to conforming to what everyone else wants to do, and to say yes to God. We are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And by saying yes, by offering ourselves as sacrifices, we give permission for the Spirit to work in us, transforming us by the renewing of our minds. And I think these are such lovely words. God renews our mind by his Spirit and transforms us into better versions of ourselves. But this isn't a once and for all kind of transformation. Instead, we can come to him again and again, no matter how many times we mess up. God calls us to come no matter how often we have come to him in the past. And neither is this an instantaneous transformation. God knows full well that we would not be able to cope with that. And so this transformation is an ongoing process of renewal and transformation. And so this might mean that God works with you to transform one aspect of yourself, and then moves on to something else next. God doesn't expect an immediate transformation, and so neither should we. Sometimes we are our harshest critics, and we need to allow God to work in us in his timing, rather than trying to force changes that we are not ready for yet. Be merciful towards yourself, because God is merciful towards you. God does all of this because of his amazing, endless mercy towards us. Paul says, in view of God's mercy. God chooses to love us, to transform us, to give us new hope, new life. And so this means that we can come to God and ask for him to transform us, to renew our minds, regardless of what situations we're in. You do not have to clean yourself up or come to him with special rituals. He just asks you to come. So hear God's call to come to him. Ask him to work on you so that you can have a more heavenly perspective. And allow the Holy Spirit to move in you and bring his transformation. Let's pray. Almighty God, we recognize that our human perspectives are limited and flawed and easily influenced by other factors. And so, Lord, we're sorry when we make bad decisions based on our flawed perspectives. When we choose paths that are not of you because we are so focused on our own circumstances. Lord, help us to recognize our need for you, to accept you into our lives. Lord, help us to raise our eyes from our own circumstances, from our own needs, our own desires, and raise them to focus on you, to fix our eyes on what is unseen, which is eternal. And Lord, as we fix our eyes on you, we pray, send your Holy Spirit to transform us more into who you want us to be. Renew our minds, Lord. Accept our bodies as living sacrifices. May we be willing to serve you and to be transformed by you. Amen.